Good morning. Welcome to West End United Methodist Church. We are glad that you are here. If you're a guest among us, we're especially glad that you've joined us this morning, and we'd love for you to sign in on the registration pad at the end of each pew and give us your contact information so that we can be in touch with you. We have a couple of announcements this morning. Today is Senior Sunday, as in graduating seniors, and those seniors were honored at the early service this morning. They were given a Bible on behalf of our congregation. We celebrate with them. This coming week, our United Methodist General Conference begins. This is the gathering of delegates from all over the world to Portland, Oregon, where they will make many decisions about our church. They are the only body that is able to make official decisions on behalf of the United Methodist Church, so we want to keep them in prayer this week. God of Carnage performances continue this week in the fourth floor theater. There is a performance this afternoon at 1 p.m., and as a special added bonus, they're offering a free meal. If you'd like to head up to the theater this afternoon around noon after our service here and enjoy some lunch, and then the performance will follow, you are welcome to do that. There's an insert in your bulletin, and I invite you to take note of all of those announcements, but I want to highlight a couple of those too. Our recycling day will happen on Saturday, May 14th from 9 until noon. See that insert for a list of things that you can bring that are being collected, but it ranges from things to donate to Goodwill to things to shred to medications. Metro Police will be on hand to take leftover medications that you have to turn in. And finally, we're collecting items for the Barefoot Republic Camp. Barefoot Republic is a camp for youth from diverse racial, cultural, and socioeconomic backgrounds, and we're gathering some items for them. So again, see the insert in the bulletin for that list of items. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God this morning.
Shout to God with songs of great joy. Raise your hands in praise. Lift your hearts to the Lord. Today we recognize that we are each in desperate need of the grace of God, and therefore acknowledge in the full depth of our brokenness, let us now join together in the prayer of confession. Powerful God, you bring light to the darkness. You triumph over death and bring forth new life. Yet so often we don't acknowledge this power in our daily lives. Forgive us as we rely upon ourselves instead of on you. Forgive us for failing to recognize your power. Renew our hearts and bring life to us again, so that we may be your light in the world. Forget what lies behind. Trust in the path of grace that lies before us. For in the mercy of Christ's love, we are forgiven and invited into new life. is the baptism of children. And this morning, David Wilson Garrison and Erica Cruz Garrison bring their son, John David Garrison, Jack, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. David and Erica, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves to you? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child into Christ's holy church, and that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and commitment to Christ? If you do, answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
John David.
John David, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'll lay your hands on baby brother, Lucy. Yeah. John David, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen. Amen. There's Mom. John David, wonderful. Okay, get in the center.
Will the congregation please stand and face John David? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend John David to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. It's a lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. One day, we were going to a place of prayer. We met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. And while she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. And after they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. And following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword, was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And at the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house, set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. The word of God for the people of God.
may be seated. And I'd like to invite the kids to come forward if you'd like to come, and you can bring a parent if you'd like, if that makes you feel more comfortable. Hi, good morning. I want to tell you a story this morning. When I was a kid, I got to go to a fair with one of my friends and her family. We got to do all sorts of fun stuff. We got to go on rides and eat really yummy food that probably wasn't very good for us. It was really fun. But my friend wanted to go into the haunted house, and I was scared. I didn't want to do it. But she convinced me to go, so I went. And it was scary. All these things jumped out at us, and they made noises. It was really scary. But the scariest thing to me was we got to the very end, and we saw the exit door to go out, and it was locked. We couldn't get out. We pushed hard as we could on that door, and it would not open. We banged on it to try to get someone to let us out, and nobody came. Finally, some other people came up from behind us. They had gone through the haunted house as well. And they tried to get the door open, and they couldn't get it out either. I was so scared, thinking about having to go back through that haunted house again. But you know what? My friend told me that she would hold my hand the entire way so that I wouldn't go through it alone. And you know what? Those other people who had come, they started making jokes. They started laughing about it. And as we made our way back out through that haunted house, it wasn't as scary. It was just kind of silly because all those people were laughing and making jokes. We finally got to the entrance where we had come in and we got out. And you know what? I was really glad that I was out of there. But I think that sometimes when we're scared, it's helpful to remember that God is always with us. Like my friend who held my hand through the whole thing, God is always with us. And the other thing is, other people can help us feel better about things. So when we're having a hard time and we're scared and not sure what we think about things, it's a really good thing to tell our friends or our family how we're feeling, because sometimes they can help us feel better about it. Let's have a prayer. Dear God, we thank you that you are always with us, even when we're scared. We thank you for our friends and family, those people who love us, those people who we can tell when we're feeling scared. We love you. Amen. Thanks, guys. Now we just prayed, but would you pray with me once more? Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you. For you are our strength and our salvation. Amen. You never know what you're going to hear about in the news these days. A few weeks ago, news broke around the world about Inky the octopus. Inky's story actually begins over a year ago when he was rescued from the waters of the Paniya Reef in New Zealand. Inky had been severely injured, so a fisherman picked him up and took him to the National Aquarium so that he could recuperate. After many months, Inky was back to good health, and he began to show off his intelligence with the staff at the aquarium. He would squirt water at them, and he even learned how to unscrew the tops of jars. But after about a year of being held in a tank, Inky was ready to be back in the ocean. So one night, after everyone had left for the day, Inky squeezed through a small gap in the mesh of his tank. He slithered about 6 feet down to the floor, and he made a beeline for a drain hole in the floor. Now, Inky was about the size of a rugby ball, and the drain hole was about 6 inches wide. But luckily for Inky, and I didn't know this before, octopuses don't have bones. So it was not a big deal for Inky to squeeze through that drain hole. 164 feet of drain pipe later, Inky was back in the Pacific Ocean, and he hasn't been seen since. The next morning, the aquarium staff discovered a slimy trail so that they could recreate what happened to him. And when his story broke, the headlines, I think, were really fun. One of them read, "Inky the Octopus's Great Escape." And another one said, "Inky Flees Aquarium for Excellent Adventure." But my personal favorite headline was, "So long, suckers." And then, in other news, in a press release a couple of weeks ago, a London pop-up restaurant founder announced plans for a summer pop-up called Bunyadi. The premise of this restaurant, which already has thousands of people on their waiting list, will be to offer a place free of impurities. No chemicals, no artificial colors, no electricity, no gas, no phone, and, if you so desire, no clothes. That's right. According to the press release, Bunyadi will offer wood flame grilled meals served on handmade clay crockery with edible cutlery in a space void of the industrialized world's modern trappings. The press release continues, "We have worked hard to design a space where everything patrons interact with is bare and naked. This summer, experience liberation." Well, I guess liberation looks different for everyone. And so it is in our scripture lesson today. Paul and Silas, having arrived in Philippi and witnessed the conversion of Lydia, encounter a slave girl who is possessed by a spirit of divination. She's able to predict the future. And her owners have been exploiting this ability in order to make money. The girl begins to follow them around, shouting about how Paul and Silas are slaves of the Most High God. And after a few days of this, more out of annoyance than pity, Paul orders the spirit to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't find out what ultimately happens to the girl, but we do know that she is freed from that spirit, and she is no longer able to make money for her masters. But this, of course, gets Paul and Silas into trouble. They're accused of disturbing the peace and of advocating for unlawful customs. Without a proper trial, they're stripped down, beaten, and thrown into prison. They're put in shackles and taken to the innermost cell of the prison. Things look pretty grim. And yet, what is their response? Worship. They begin to pray and to sing hymns to God. The other prisoners hear them, and when a violent earthquake opens all of the prison cells and breaks their chains, nobody leaves. The prison guard wakes up, and he's afraid. The penalty for allowing prisoners to escape is death, so he decides to take matters into his own hands, and he reaches for his sword. But Paul calls to him, and he assures him that everyone is still there. The guard is so moved that he falls down and asks, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas respond by telling him about what it means to believe in Jesus Christ and to be a part of the Christian community. The jailer and his whole family are baptized that night. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Paul and Silas are the ones who've been literally beaten and imprisoned. And yet the jailer is the one who's really in need of liberation. This man is bound by a system in which the punishment for a job failure is death. And after the earthquake, he's so overcome by fear of that failure that he's ready to take his own life. I'm guessing that most of us here this morning have never been in prison. But I bet that all of us can relate to the feelings of that jailer on some level. Maybe we're held captive by an oppressive job, or financial worries, or the need to keep up a particular image. Maybe we're shackled by perfectionism, or an addiction, or anxiety, or depression. Maybe we're bound up in a role that we play in our family or in our group of friends, and that role no longer fits us. As funny as it may sound, I think the founders of Bugnati, that pop-up restaurant, were onto something. We all need liberation from something. Though for the record, I would argue that clothing is not that thing. What must I do to be saved? The jailer asks. Another way to ask it might be, what must I do to be free? Paul and Silas answer his question with one sentence: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. For Paul and Silas, salvation wasn't just about some pie in the sky after we die. For them, it was also about abundant life here and now. In the words of one commentator, being saved is having one's life put in right relation with God and other human beings. Being given one's life as it was intended to be by God in this world, and being given the sure and certain hope of eternal life in the world beyond. Salvation is about freedom and hope in the here and now, as well as in the life to come. It's what caused Paul and Silas to pray and sing hymns after being beaten and imprisoned. It's what inspired the jailer to take Paul and Silas into his house to wash their wounds and to set food before them. And it's what allowed the jailer to receive not only a new beginning, but a new identity in Christ. Yes, liberation may look different for everyone. But for Christians, liberation looks like living our lives as they were intended to be by God, in freedom and hope. Susan Gregg Schroeder is a pastor and an author who has struggled with clinical depression. When her symptoms first emerged, she lived in denial for a long time. She didn't want to admit to herself or to others that she needed help, and she carried a lot of shame about it. And I have to admit, I don't blame her. In our culture, it's really difficult to admit to our own vulnerability or to ask for help, especially if we're in a position of leadership. But luckily for Susan, her coworkers, family, and friends began to notice her symptoms, and they reached out to her to offer support. And when she finally sought treatment, she discovered memories from her childhood that she had buried. Susan's mother had been physically and emotionally abusive to her before she died when Susan was 16. As part of her treatment, Susan began to see a spiritual director. He encouraged her to make a list of all the negative messages that she had received from her mother. She carried that list with her for 4 years. But one day, with the assistance of her pastoral counselor, and a woman that she had adopted as her surrogate mother, Susan took the list to the beach. She crumpled it and placed it in the bottom of a pot. They said a prayer of relinquishment and blessing, and then they set the list on fire. After the list had turned to ashes, Susan added dirt and then placed in it a special plant that had been a gift to her from her surrogate mother. She says, "As we sat back to contemplate what we had done, we needed no words. I sobbed quietly, grieving for my mother for the first time. I realized that one must love deeply in order to let go. Not only did I feel the release, but I suspect that she felt released as well. It felt like we had attended a funeral. But we also felt uplifted because the time had come for my mother's release and I needed to move on. The plant on my garden patio reminds me daily that life does grow from the ashes." Liberation in Christ looks like release from those things that do not bring peace, like unlocked shackles of things that do not bring healing, like escape from those things that do not bring life. Liberation in Christ looks like freedom and hope. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Does that mean that we don't struggle or that things always go our way? Of course not. Just ask Paul and Silas. Just ask Susan Greg Schroeder. Just ask you and me. Let's be real. But liberation through Christ does mean that even in the farthest corner of whatever prison cell we find ourselves, God is with us, and we are not alone. It means that when everything has crumbled around us and we can't see beyond our own despair, God calls to us, offering us new life. And it means that God's transforming power can work through the community of faith to bring healing and hope, even for you, even for me. Not just this summer, but every day, Christ invites all of us to experience liberation. And there's no waiting list. And that, my friends, is good news. Amen. Stand as you are able and join me in affirming our faith together with the World Methodist Social Affirmation. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit present to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We believe. God, help our unbelief. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, and in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that we might have, that all may have enough in all responsible use of the earth's resources. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace. We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us this morning. We're so glad that you're here. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. After the service, we would like to greet you in Reed Hall. Through the doors to your right, there's coffee there and people with blue name tags to help you learn more about ways to be involved in this faith community. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side, you can put comments for staff and lay leadership, and on the other side, you can put prayer requests. Please check the box if you would like to receive a call from staff or leadership. Make sure you put your contact information there. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us. There is a black pew pad in the center aisle. write your name down and look who you're worshiping with and greet them at some point after the service. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and our spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God and parent of all, we are grateful today to gather as children, birthed in your image, blessed offspring of your creation. As a mother hen gathers her brood under her wing, we join today to hear your teachings and experience your love. We give thanks for empowering us to have a childlike faith. Teach us to have compassion in our human relationships, to forgive those who hurt us, and to share with all your children, and to pray with play with imagination and courage. We thank you indeed for the women among us and around us, in whom you have gifted the privilege and the challenge of being mothers and mother figures, those who nurtured and supported us, enabled us to grow and mature in faithfulness. Mothering God, fill us with new life this day, so that we might bring life to all your children. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray the prayer you taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We give this offering now joyfully as a token of our abiding love. May it be used to bring peace, justice, and comfort in our world.
Friends, may we go forth this week remembering that God is with us. We are not alone. God offers all of us new life. And when we struggle, we have a community of faith ready to step in and support us. Now go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.